Hello and welcome to Beyond the Back Page on Near FM with myself, Patrick Donoghue. On the show today, we'll be looking ahead to the start of the new League of Ireland season with our League of Ireland expert, Michael Hopkins. And later in the show, I'll be joined by gambling addiction counsellor Tony O'Reilly, who will join us to discuss the issue of problem gambling. But first of all, I'm delighted. This weekend, it's been a long break for League of Ireland fans, but this Friday is the start of the League of Ireland season. And to help us preview the new season, I'm delighted to be joined on the line by Michael Hopkins. Michael, how's things? How are you today?
I'm good, Paddy. Good to hear from you. Not too bad.
So, Michael, you must be really, it's been a long winter break, as I said there in the outset. You must be really looking forward to the start of football now, starting on Friday.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting down to Richmond Park, seeing how all the new signings are settling in. Looking forward to we've obviously got a new manager this season, so might be the first full season he has in charge. So, yeah, I think everyone's optimistic. I think most fans will be optimistic about the league coming up, and just it's great to get back into the swing of things. You can't beat league live football, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah, and looking at them new signings, you brought in a lot of experience there. The names that stand out: Robbie Benson, you've Shane Griffith in there, Conor Cairns. Of them players, who are you most looking forward to seeing this season?
I suppose it's some of the new lads. There's a bit of intrigue around the new lads there, like lads like Martin Rennie coming in, Billy King, certainly Robbie Benson we know throughout the league, so everyone's very excited about Robbie Benson getting a run of games in the midfield with Chris Forrester. Chris seemed to start kicking on towards the end of the season just gone, so if they can link up in midfield, it could be very exciting for us. I think we're hoping to see a bit more from Ronan Hale, maybe even Jake Walker, who was coming through last season, one of the younger lads. And we're probably looking for a bit more positivity in attack, create more chances, score more goals, because it could be very frustrating last season in our ability to actually create chances, you know. So hoping those lads can hit the ground running and get off to a positive start. We've a good chance against Watford, home game first, so looking forward to hopefully 3 points straight away, you know.
And what's your realistic expectations for this season? Would it be a Europa League place?
Yeah, I think realistically, yeah. I was very, very hopeful at the start of last season that Harry Kenny could come in and change things around and get us sort of pushing up the league table. And ultimately, it didn't go very well. Mm. It was very stagnant. The football was very poor at times. We didn't seem to have an identity as a team. Whereas with Stephen O'Donnell, you could kind of see what he was trying towards the end of the season. And I think we're all willing to give him a chance to put his own stamp on it now. He's had a pre-season with the team. He's brought in players that he probably knows himself very well. And we're willing to give him a chance. But I think if we can push forward, maybe toward, if we're really optimistic, then we really have a really, really good season based on that.
And overall, you would be quite optimistic and hopeful with Steve O'Donnell in charge. I suppose he's been involved with that great Dundalk team. So his pedigree is good. He's been surrounded by a lot of good managers there, Stephen Kenny and Vinnie Peart. So you think he is the man to bring you forward this year?
Yeah, he's made bold decisions, which for a young manager like that bodes well. He seems to know what he wants. I mean, as I said, he's brought in those players. He's moved on some quite high-profile names. I mean, Reece McCabe was gone. Mikey Drennan has left. Even Keane Coleman, which is one of our younger players who came in, and I thought actually did reasonably well. So he's made big calls, and that's always a good sign for me that a manager has an idea in his head of the type of football that he wants to play and the type of players that he wants in that squad. So I think we're all willing to give him the opportunity. And it's good to see that we're not going back to the same old usual names that bounce around the League of Ireland. Mm. He's a young manager. Like you said, he's been involved with Dundalk during a very successful period, and hopefully some of that can be brought into Richmond Park as well.
And just turning away, we know you're a big St Pat's fan, but a lot of focus this weekend will be on the game Saturday, Bows against Shamrock Rovers. It's really a great start to the season for them two teams. How do you see that game going? I know Bows kind of had the upper hand on Shamrock Rovers over the last couple of years. So how do you see that game going on Saturday?
I think it'll be tight, as the games between the two of them always are. But I also think that they might get a bit of the hoodoo undone now that they've broken that hoodoo Rovers by beating Bowes recently. So I've always felt, and I think it was more hopeful last season, that Bowes would fall away towards the end of the season because it's such a small squad. And it'll be interesting to see whether Keithlong can keep that momentum going with, again, a small squad. So I see Rovers coming out on top, but I think it's too close to call because Rovers haven't done a huge amount in the off-season. They don't seem to, for me, to address the issue that they had last season, which was scoring goals. And nothing has changed my mind, given the signings that they've made, that they're going to overcome that hurdle. So I think that's where they'll struggle this season. And then Bowes, I think it's about momentum. It's about keeping that momentum going and building on what they had last season. Because the buzz around Bowes this season is huge. I get that impression from the club.
And
So great.
And looking ahead, you've nearly answered the next question I was going to ask you. Just to kind of look ahead, ultimately, who would you expect to win the title this year?
For me, again, it's hard to see past Dundalk. It really is. I just, as I said about Rovers not being able to score enough goals, Dundalk have retained what they had from last season. They'll add a couple of players, some players that we don't know too much about, but they're able to have that gamble where they can bring in players from leagues outside of the League of Ireland and gamble on them because they know they're strong enough in elsewhere in the squad to cover for them. So I can't see past Dundalk, I have to be honest with you. I think the rest of the table can be fairly open. A lot of the teams will feel like they can close the gap on Rovers, close the gap on Bowes. And I think that's ultimately where the league table is going to go.
Yeah, and before I let you go, Michael, just a general, I suppose, state of the nation sort of. Are you quite optimistic? It has been such a tough time for Irish football with all the problems with the FAI over the last few months, but generally would you be optimistic Irish football has got that money, that bailout from the Irish government, so would you be more optimistic about the future of Irish football?
I'm certainly more optimistic now than I was 6 months ago. I think League of Ireland fans will always, and it might look good in hindsight that they'll come out and say they always had suspicions around John Delaney. But I think quite rightly so. And the League of Ireland was always the last thought of the FAI. It always came across that investment was just never going to come. And it was always an afterthought. I mean, the prize money is absolutely dreadful for the league winners in the League of Ireland. So I'm optimistic about the soundings that are coming out from the FAI. I'm optimistic about the soundings that are coming out potentially about an All-Ireland League. I'm optimistic about talk of marketing and investment into the clubs and into the actual league itself. So I am optimistic about that and willing to give them the opportunity. There's not a whole lot of substance to it so far. So I think clubs as well and fans will want to see ideas written down in black and white rather than just a promise of we want to invest and have a vibrant League of Ireland. They need to put the money where their mouth is. And they need to show in black and white what the plan for this league is, because the potential is huge, absolutely huge for the league. There's fantastic young players coming through at the moment. A lot of them going right into the Ireland underage squads. And it would be a shame to not be able to capitalise that over the next couple of years. Potentially we have a fantastic manager in Stephen Kenny taking over the senior team, who knows the League of Ireland inside out. So let's give him the opportunity to take players from this league. And get them into international football, you know.
That's great. Listen, Michael, thanks again for joining us. We'll be talking to you, no doubt. It promises to be a very, very exciting season. So no doubt we'll be chatting to you throughout the season. Enjoy the match on Friday night. And thanks again for joining us this evening.
No problem, Paddy. All the best. Talk to you soon.
That's great. That was Michael Hopkins joining us. As we say, started the season on the. It's been a long winter break, so Friday marks the start of the League of Ireland season, and we'll be covering that throughout the year. I'm just going to take a piece of music now, and after that, I hope to be joined by Tony O'Reilly, who is going to discuss the issue of online gambling and problem gambling. Tony co-wrote with Declan Lynch an excellent book last year about the issue, telling us about his experiences. So Tony will join us on the line in a couple of minutes.
This is Near FM
90.3.
Welcome back to Beyond the Back Page on Near FM. From 14th of April, gamblers in the UK will no longer be able to bet using their credit card following new legislation brought in by the UK government. To discuss whether we need to bring in similar legislation in this country, I'm delighted to be joined on the line by gambling addiction counsellor Tony O'Reilly. Tony documented his own experiences with problem gambling in a book he co-wrote with Declan Lynch called Tony 10. And I'm delighted to say I'm joined on the line by Tony. Tony, thanks so much for joining us this evening.
Thanks for having me on, Patrick.
So, Tony, I mentioned there in my introduction, the UK have brought in this legislation where they're banning people from betting online using a credit card. What do you make of that? Would that be, if we brought something similar into Ireland, would that be a progressive move?
I think it's a very positive step, because even, as you mentioned, my own story of gambling addiction, when I opened up my online account, you had to associate a credit card with it because I didn't have a debit card at the time. I just had the old style bank cards that you'd use in the ATMs. So for me to open up the account, I had to associate this credit card with. And what that meant was, it was before smartphones. So what that meant, I was able to gamble freely from the comfort of my own room using credit. So before I knew it, I was starting to bet more frequently. The amounts just slowly were creeping up. And also it allowed me to go on to totally different markets. So if you have the cold face of going into a gambling shop or a bookie shop, you kind of know you're going to be gambling on normal kind of stuff. But gambling online with credit allowed me to gamble a little bit more on things that I wouldn't normally bet on. And before I knew it, I had maxed on my credit card after a couple of months to a year. And it was a time with the Celtic Tigers. I was able to get a loan, pay off the credit card and start the process again. And that's where my story really started to take a different turn, because before I knew it, I had amassed debts of tens of thousands from gambling and credit. So I see it as a huge step forward. Again, like the UK are being very proactive in things like this, because they reduced the fixed odds betting terminal stakes to €2 or £2 a while ago as well. Unfortunately, in Ireland, we still don't have the regulator legislation in place to kind of make these big changes.
And what else do we need to do now? I know, while I was doing my research, I saw there was proposed legislation in 2013 for legislation to regulate the betting companies. Do we need to bring in, I suppose now we have hopefully a change of government, that's a whole different story how that will play out, but do you think this is a really, really important thing that we have legislation? Because I suppose, like any industry, it's very hard for the betting companies to legislate and regulate themselves.
Very true, and it's very hard for the individual to regulate themselves as well when it becomes a problem. So, like, yeah, the 2013 bill is yet to be enacted. So what hopefully that would provide would be kind of policies, procedures, regulations, so that the industry would have to adhere to certain rules and regulations, which is not the case in Ireland yet. And we've seen that in UK, even I think their one is in since 2005, if I'm correct, and they're even saying that that's not fit for purpose. Ours is from 1956, I think. So we're so far behind, even at this stage. So hopefully, I know that Fianna Fáil, we're very much pushing it through in their manifestos, as were a few of the other parties, but they're really, their promise was to get the regulator set up by the end of the year, which hopefully is the case, because then we can start really trying to get some kind of proper research done, some proper funding for organisations, because at the moment, there's no government funding for problem gambling, and it's a growing problem, which you would have seen yourself from doing your research.
Yeah, and the responsibility on the betting companies, I was reading your book over the last couple of weeks, and it kind of flabbergasted me, the with Paddy Power, like you document in your book about at one stage Paddy Power ringing you yourself, reassuring you when there was a problem with their website, and inviting you to different corporate events. So I suppose my question is there a big responsibility and on the betting companies, and as the way they treat VIB customers, are they acting very irresponsibly at present?
I would agree. Yeah, I know in the UK they're looking at the VIP schemes as well. There's a couple of articles over the last couple of weeks to that effect. And I suppose even in the UK, the media are highlighting it very much every day. Like, you know, it's in the various newspapers over there, different stories. So they are really pushing it over there. I suppose over here, yeah, I think with the VIP schemes, like, you know, to be a VIP, you literally have to be the biggest loser to become a VIP. And, like, they do invite you to events, and they do. I would have very much been shied away from that side, but I have worked with people in the UK that they were saying that they would have been ringing up looking for box seats for Premier League games, or looking for bonuses, or looking for money to be lodged in an account. I would have been the opposite, because I suppose I was gambling with stolen money at the time. I would have been not looking for these things. So that kind of entices the problem gambler to stay going. Like, so it's nearly like they're being rewarded. So it nearly adds to the ego of it. Like, even when I was invited to the Cora, which probably the weekend before my news broke, and I shied away from it a bit. But I remember one of my friends came with me, and he said, like, you know, that he was blown away by the corporate side of it, Bollinger Champagne, and you're treated like a VIP. So it does kind of massage the ego a bit, and that kind of can keep you in the game a little bit longer too, and create this false kind of world of this of the gambler, I suppose.
Yeah, and is it a problem that is not, that doesn't get, people still don't realise how serious it is? Because I was reading somewhere, Ireland, as a country, we bet the seventh amount in the world. So I know now you work as an addiction counsellor. From your work, do you see that it is an issue that is really, really not, people don't realise the scale of it?
Yeah, and I think one with the stats that you're quoting, they were the highest online gambling losses per capita in the world, and the third highest overall, which is really worrying stats, which would suggest that there's a huge problem there. I suppose in the work that I'm doing with Problem Gambling Ireland, we've free service on Waterford in Dublin, and we're seeing more and more people presenting for help, which is great, but you also see a lot of more females are presenting for help.
Right.
And because of the hidden addiction, because, you know, you can visibly see if someone is suffering with alcohol addiction or a drug addiction, with gambling it's slightly different, because you can be gambling in the corner of the room, having a chat with people, and you could be losing, in essence, you could be losing thousands of euro in kind of seconds over the phone. So usually what happens is when people do present for help, it's usually when they are at that very low point, and then that has a knock-on effect to the families, because there's a financial element of it. So usually when the person does look for help, there's huge financial issues, and this has a knock-on effect. So why we say, like, there's approximately, by the stats to say, there's 40,000 problem gamblers in Ireland, but that can affect up to 8 to 10 other people in the immediate family or colleagues or the wider family and society as a whole. So it is a huge problem that's growing in Ireland, as is, like, gaming and social media addiction, internet addiction are coming behind it as well. But this is a huge problem in the country at the moment. And the stats to suggest that we are one of the highest or the highest losses per capita in the world would suggest that there's we are probably one of the biggest gamblers per capita in the world as well.
And before I let you go, Tony, I suppose reading your book, the thing I talk about, it is quite a tough read at times, but there is salvation at the end. So would that be anyone that is listening in that there's always, it's never too late to seek help. So would that be sort of the advice you'd give someone that may be listening that is suffering from gambling addiction?
Exactly. You know, I suppose there was a mixture of pride, ego and fear stopped me from looking for help. It got to the point where, you know, no one knew about my gambling, but it got to the point where I'd done untold damage with it. And I suppose there's a passage in the book where I write about where I'm walking into the treatment centre and I felt like my life was over. I knew it. There's no hope. I'd lost my family, my job. I'd lost friends. I'd lost respect. I'd lost everything. And I was walking through the doors of Coomgirra thinking that, you know, how am I going to come back from this? I suppose I felt some type of hope when I was in there getting assessed. And I suppose the reason why myself and Declan decided to tell the story was to show that even when you feel that there is no hope, there's you can come through anything once you kind of surround yourself with the proper supports and make that initial decision to kind of face up to the problem and say, you know, I need a little bit of help here. And I suppose the thing that I didn't do at the time was kind of say it to a friend or say it to a professional. I let it get to the point where it was nearly my whole world had come down around me. So I suppose there's always hope once you kind of recognise you have a problem, or maybe if even someone else recognises someone and kind of even approaches them and say, maybe we think you might be gambling much compared to other people, or you might be, you know, spending a bit more time on your phone or spending a lot of time in the bookies. And even though the person might turn around and tell them it's none of their business or be very defensive, at least it sows a seed that, hold on, someone is kind of noticing here. And that can open the path for someone to kind of seek help. But there's always hope, even, like, you know, in my case, as I said, I describe in the book that I nearly crawled through the doors of the treatment centre because I was so devastated by what had happened. But as you said, I've kind of come out the far side of it. And even though it has been tough over the last 8.5 years at times to kind of get back to where I am now, I've never been happier in lots of ways. I still have, you know, still have to deal with what life throws at us. But I do in a different way now because I can open up and talk about my problems and share it. And that's helped me throughout the last 8 years of recovery.
Well, Tony, it's been really great talking to you. Thanks a million for joining us. The book you co-wrote with Declan Lynch is called Tony 10, and it's highly recommended. It's a really, really compelling read. And as I said, there's a good story at the end, you know. So thanks a million for joining us this evening.
Thanks very much, Patrick.
That's great. That's a gambling addiction counsellor Tony O'Reilly, who documented his experiences in a cracking book, Tony 10. I'm more or less completely out of time, so I'd like to thank my two guests on the show this evening. Earlier on in the show, we had Michael Hopkins giving us his take on the League of Ireland season, and I was also joined by Tony O'Reilly. So thanks a million for tuning in, and we'll have another Beyond the Back page at the same time next week. Until then, enjoy your sporting week.